Blog Talk Radio.
You have no idea what you got involved with. You have no idea who you're messing with.
Might
you
not.
Have no idea. Congratulations.
Y'all better tune in to Monday nights after Raw. To the only show doing a recap when it goes off. You know how Mondays go. Watch it Raw first. Then listening to the Perfect Flex Radio. Shout out to the CEO, my homie Mike Knox.
What up?
AKA the Stephen A. Smith, the wrestler.
Get out of here with that.
And if you ever met him, you know he knows his wrestling. Don't believe me, check out his title collection.
The King of Belts.
Haters, we don't stress them, cause we destined for greatness. Stay on the bench watching the franchise players. Shout out to Spot Face. What up, K and me? The crew better known as Three Count to you and me. Wrestling version of ESPN, first and 10. And for the fans asking, what's up with TNA? Check.
And that's where I stopped the music at, people. There is no TNA that we care about anymore. Sorry, guys. Welcome to Perfect Plex Talk Radio, part of BD SIR Radio Networks, episode 1999, people. Thank you. We've been doing it for going on 10 years. I thank you very much for continuing to join us. Episode 2000 will be tomorrow, live on Fox Sports Radio 96.9 FM and Fox Sports Radio 1340 AM, Hopewell, Virginia. But you know what, guys? It's a podcast as well. So wherever podcasts are sold, which are absolutely free, you can join into the program as well. And also, always, people, first, the particulars. Number to call in, 347-637-3859. Number to call in. Have a voice with the voice for the voiceless, and you can get on air as well with us live today. And today, I wear my heart on my sleeve, and frankly, people, I wear it this way. How can I have a show called Perfect Plex Talk Radio, and we don't talk about the biggest news in professional wrestling this week? Now, not only do I do my all the week in professional wrestling as I wear my heart on my sleeve, it's a lot of WWE things. I've been tagged. I've been bamboozled with. I've been hamstrung with being a hashtag WWE guy, but I continue to tell the marks and the smarts out there that, hey, I'm hashtag a wrestling guy. You give me a wrestling product that I, as a 43-year-old grown man with children and a wife with all kind of lady parts you wish you could touch, okay? It's your choice what you watch. I just choose to not watch other certain products that don't, as they say, suit my fancy. But today, we will talk all things All Elite Pro Wrestling. Can AEW have a real impact? Can they survive? I'm sorry, guys. If you've not heard the press conference, having an equal pay scale with men and women, I'm not saying women can't do better jobs than men or whatever that conversation may lead us to, but can it really be fair to wrestling talent? Also, who's the next big name to drop? Will it be friend of program Ryback? Will it be friend of program Shad Gaspar? Maybe a revamping of Crime Time. It is called All Elite, which means I want elite-style wrestlers, not just your common Joe or Jocene from your local independent source, but I want the best in this company. Is Omega making a mistake? That's the rumor, by not joining AEW. He is a bona fide free agent. Let's talk about that as well. And also, can they survive without having a TV deal where we can find the station? Can we find you is where it matters. And is this a war against the WWE with Chris Jericho? Tonight on the program, I have, as always, joined us from the host state here in, well, not where I'm at, I'm in Orlando, from Richmond, Virginia. His mama calls him Micah. You can find him on the Twitter by ME Richmond. Well, frankly, just call me anything but late for dinner. Oh, my brother, testify!
Oh, my brother from another mother. There ain't no guy, there ain't no other that I want to be on with right now. And how did we not see this coming? Actually, we did. Everyone was talking about it for like 6 months in a row that they were probably going to form some kind of company. But hey, the sky is blue, the sun is shining, and WWE could be like Jack Nicholson in The Shining, trying to find their action shop down the door so that AEW can't be no more. But I got my rhymes. I've had my time. Brother, you go ahead and go back and get your shine.
Well, thanks for joining the program. And also joining us today, we do have the creator. We do have the founder, if you will, so to speak, of the Chairshot.com's own Greg DeMarco joining us today as well, Michael. What's going on, Greg?
Well, first of all, there is absolutely nothing I can say to follow up the monologue that was just provided before me. So thank you for having me on. Thank you for setting the bar so high. All I can do is simply walk under it. But in all honesty, the pleasure is all mine, and I appreciate the invite, and I look forward to the conversation.
Well, let's just go ahead and get this ball rolling, if we will. We're impacting your Thursday nights the way we used to with my man Corey G and I here on this Thursday night. As I'm trying to just find, honestly, guys, for my listeners out there, the time to come back on fully to do the wrestling conversation. I kind of tended to go with the JMO, just my opinion, because frankly, my opinion and other wrestling fans' opinions don't kind of always add up. I'm that guy that you don't hear on social media because they're afraid of all you people. Well, guess what, y'all? I'm 6'3½", 285 pounds. I ain't afraid of none of you motherfuckers, okay? So let's just go ahead and get to this show and start off like this right here, right now. And the question I have first, guys, is can AEW really have an impact? And what made me want to draw this question for this top of the night, especially with two guys I respect and their wrestling opinions that, frankly, we don't always agree with, is why these are two I really want to have on tonight. And this is, what is considered a real impact, right? I think that some fans on both parts are delusional, okay? That means put down the cream pie, put down the weed gummies, okay? AEW is not a threat right now for the WWE other than stealing adult men away who miss wrestling the way we used to have it back in the day. Now, those who don't know who are new to the program, I'm an old-school wrestling fan. To me, the golden age of professional wrestling I'll be a fool to tell you, oh, it was the 80s and all. They were good. Okay. To me, I think the Ruthless Aggression era was the best era in professional wrestling. I thought it was past the Attitude era, where the Attitude era took us. Ruthless Aggression era, to me, just took the ball and just ran with it. You had the best of both worlds. So can All Elite Wrestling have an impact the way that the Ruthless Aggression era had? And meaning that it's being new, being fresh, having stars we can respect, honor, and actually want to give time to build the characters. Now, for them to also have an impact, I think they need to have some of the wrestlers have creative control. This glass ceiling, this brass bar, ring, whatever you want to call it, that Vince McMahon has set has maybe killed the art of professional wrestling for some of these guys. Some of these guys, it's just not a job. It's just not what they saw on Saturday mornings. It's an art form for them. And can you think all that rolled into one? Chop it up, give it to Snoop, let him smoke it. Can this be the impact that wrestling fans are looking for, Greg?
Oh, I think it can be. Now, impact is measured by so many different ways because you asked the question, can they have an impact? I would say they already have had an impact without ever running a show, which is just insane because they've got – I mean, you're talking about impact. They've impacted New Japan. They've impacted Ring of Honor. But they've impacted WWE. WWE is already rushing to sign existing talent to new, updated deals before they expire. That doesn't happen because there's no other alternatives out there. So they've already had an impact. And I think they're going to have an impact because they got money. They got lots of money with the Khan family. They're in talks with TV deals. They've got the hottest names not signed to WWE right now. And they've really, there's not much more you can ask for somebody trying to have an impact. And you don't have to compete and fight for number one to have an impact. Just being a clear-cut number two is good enough in this day and age to have an impact on the business.
Well, let me ask that question of Micah right there based off what you just said there, Greg. And that's Micah's this. Are they a clear-cut number two without even having a show that when their first show's not until Double or Nothing in May? After WrestleMania, are they making an impact by, A, us having a show right now clearly dedicated to All Elite Wrestling? I'm not talking Raw tonight. I mean, I probably will. I doubt it, right? But we're not talking WWE. We're actually, for the first time in this show's history, 1999 episodes. That's 1,999 for those who can't count. I know some of you guys on the you're like, podcast number 20. You gave up at like 50. It's okay. You and your five listeners wasn't counting, but I digress. Micah, are they having an impact? Are they a clear-cut number two already above Ring of Honor, above New Japan Pro Wrestling?
Well, now you have to ask yourself, well, what makes them that clear-cut number two? Well, let's look at what has transpired already in Chicago in last year. Chicago was really, if you really think about it, because Cody doesn't appear to be a guy who's just doing things on the fly. I believe that him and the Young Bucks were doing things as far as part of an overall arching plan. I believe that when they took on that challenge from Dave Meltzer, but that was the first shot fired that they can produce something that's different and unique from WWE. Just to give somebody, you know, some other consumers something different in far, as far as wrestling. They were able to pull their influences from several different companies in which they worked to create a sell-out show that was actually over the capacity of the tickets they had available. And they were able to pull that off. Now, granted, the internet production was a little bit bad. They'll work on that. But overall, a 10,000-seat arena for a show that's not WWE, since the days of WCW, come on. That was their litmus test. That was their, okay, let's experiment. If we can do this, then we can probably move to the next level. What they did back in September was their test. So, yes, by them testing the waters to first see if they had the influence, they had the talent, they had the pull, the stories, they used everything that they had, and, yes, they showed that they can be a clear-cut number two right now without actually having a formal show under the AEW banner. But I got to give credit to what credit is due when it comes to that.
Now, let me throw this question out to you guys, and you guys, I'm going to throw it like a boomerang, which if you want to catch it, just throw it back to me. Jericho, they on a show that I've been on several times, Sirius XM's Busted Open Radio, had an interview today with them, and he thinks that himself alone, and maybe I'm paraphrasing it, so of course I'm paraphrasing it, okay, so just read between the lines here, you know, pre-text and post-text for those who go to church and read the Bible, okay, saying him joining or him appearing in New Japan Pro Wrestling, that impact on that company, it brought more eye to the product, and that him coming to AEW does the exact same thing. But it pauses me to step back, rather, if you will, so to speak, and ask the question, is Jericho a big enough name alone to with AEW? Is Cody wrestling? We assume he's going to wrestle, but we know he's vice president of this company. We know the Young Bucks are going to wrestle, being in the position they are in as well. Greg, you mentioned the finances of the Khan family. Those who don't know, that's the Jacksonville Jaguars on it, which, by the way, guys, just put us out there. He has more money than Vince McMahon. Okay? So, yep. Ted Turner also had more money than Vince McMahon, but we see how that turned out. Having deep pockets can go a long way if the product is the right way. Is Jericho the biggest name that they can get, or is there somebody else out there, not named Kenny Omega, that they could get that will have this impact to give them to me anyway, they need somebody else to be a clear cut number two. There it is. Catch it. Throw it back. Not all at once.
Come on, Brad. You know who it is. You know who it is, Brad. We both know it's right on the tip of our tongue. We know who it is. It's the one guy and his wife that will actually take off everybody and will actually make an impact as well based on his name recognition alone.
Right.
Because people are still hot about him. They still chant his name when the show
are you talking about Phil Brooks?
Phil Brooks.
Until he wrestles again, I refuse to call him Chicago made because technically he's from the suburbs, and so they didn't really make him if he's not from Chicago. So I'm sorry, I went too deep. So that's just my hate for CM Punk. I love Phil Brooks, but I hate CM Punk, and I hate everybody who changed his name because he quit on all of us. But okay,
yeah.
You say CM Punk, Greg? Do you agree?
I do think CM Punk can end up there. I don't think it happens in 2019. He wants to be loved. He wants to be courted. He wants to be, you know, he wants the attention. He saved up some money. He wasn't a top dollar making guy in the WWE even when he was champion. So now he didn't spend a lot of it. Obviously, he's not buying alcohol, so he's got that. But what are his side projects?
He doesn't buy clothes, as we can see from those pictures too. He's not a best well stressed person.
So I do think CM Punk's an option. They got stars already. There's talk about Goldberg. There's talk about Ryback. I recently saw some stuff out there about maybe someone like AJ Styles, who hasn't re-signed a contract yet, could be an option. I don't think that's going to happen, but
right.
This is long term. We're not talking about year one for some of
right.
these guys. They have stars they need to kick things off, but, you know, come late this year, October, I think there's some people that might consider. If you're Zack Ryder, now Zack Ryder is not
right.
a main event guy. Well, he's
a
name who's been on WWE
right.
television. If you're Zack Ryder and your contract's up and you've been there for over a decade and hopefully saved some of your money, might you think about it? I would.
Let me throw this caveat out there, and this is where, for those who don't know, I've you know, as David O'Tongue used to say, who's not the biggest name anymore, right? Google me, right? So here's some things you said that Greg that I'm going to touch on, and catch this if you can. AJ Styles, I don't think is going anywhere. I don't think he will be. I would damn near stake anything that I've ever known about professional wrestling based off of interviews I've heard from AJ Styles with the company, away from the company. And I know when you're doing interviews, you still got to, you know, tote the line a little bit. When he signed his last contract, this is, again, going off of words I've heard come out of his mouth. He's ready to sit back at home and do the damn thing. But here's where AEW has, I think, an issue. Can they do, if AJ Styles says what he wants to do, and that's go home, be at his family, and things like that along those lines, can AEW provide him the finances to do that? B, we know, well, we think they can. B, are they willing to give him a part-time contract? And then does that not begin to start problems because so-called wrestling fans hate part-timers? Again, I'm not one of them guys who hate part-timers. If you're Brock Lesnar, I don't give a damn. So what? That's not Brock Lesnar's fault. That's Vince McMahon's fault. They let him have these dates and things like that. And I do fall into the hype of when it comes to Lesnar, he's a big-time attraction. I don't have to see him every week on Raw, personally. That's just me. Just show up and then show out when you show up. And I think Brock does that. Will AJ be willing – will the company be willing to give AJ that kind of a contract where he's not on every show? Will they have house shows and travel and things like that? What we do know from the wrestling business is to make money, you got to go out and do shows. That's why NXT left the nest, if you will, instead of doing house shows in various cities around them, give those guys more money. It's a business, guys. At the end of the day, you can be a fan all you want to, but you have to understand business. Will AJ go? Will he get the contract from AEW that he's looking for? Is that a big enough name, Micah?
That'll be one of the big enough names, especially because he'll be bringing not only his New Japan audience, but his TNA audience, but also now a large contingent of WWE fans that have bought into what AJ Styles is, bought into wrestling at a high level, bought into his persona and delivering every week as best as he can, with, you know, depending on how the matches are booked, because we've seen how that Shinsuke Nakamura thing turned out. But here's the thing. When it comes to what you brought up, when it comes to AEW finance and the way they structured it, now granted, it was the promotional party, the rally, but Cody and my Young Bucks, they wanted to make it kind of clear that one of the things they wanted to do for wrestlers was to take care of them. But one of the things that wrestlers, that, and some people don't really know this, wrestlers and referees and people who are in the ring, who are in the ring, do not get taken care of. They don't get taken care of. For as we talk about WWE,
they have to pay
for their travel. They have no insurance.
Right.
They have to take care of their
blind tag.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I think is the worst shit in the world for Vince McMahon, for the WWE to have. But I get other companies. The WWE should have a goddamn insurance policy. Like, you know what they're doing. That's just dumb to me. I've always thought that was stupid. Even them paying for their own car rental and stuff, I think is just asinine. Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you should be looking out. You should be looking out for what you call, like, the superstars. I believe that one of the things that they talked about, and that I remember them talking about at the press conference, the rally, was that that's one of the things they wanted to do, to take care of their wrestlers. They're also not looking to have the hectic 200, 300-day schedule that a WWE would have. So their business model has to be set up in a way where they're not only taking care of the wrestler's accommodations, taking care of the wrestler's medical, paying the wrestlers, the woman and the men, handsomely and equally. I'm always the kind of guy that you get paid based on how you draw. You have an even base pay, and then you get bonuses based on how you draw. That's just me. But, you know, that's just the way I think. But
no, that's go ahead. I'm sorry.
Huh?
No, go ahead.
You should get paid the way – you should get paid based on what you earn, not just because you're there. But, you know, that schedule is actually looking like it's going to be set up in a part-time way to where every event that they do is actually special, and it probably has meaning. Because remember, one of the things he talked about was that wins and losses mean something. Because how many times have you and I said it that
it don't mean nothing in WWE anymore? Right.
Exactly. They don't mean nothing in WWE anymore. And we know and understand that as long as it furthers whatever story they want. But when I see Dean Ambrose lose three times to Seth Rollins on Monday Night Raw in various ways, and then he beats them and keeps the title at a pay-per-view, I'm like, what was the point of all those losses then that he took? He was on a losing streak on a reason. Like, help me understand this. So all those things, I believe, play a factor in AEW's trajectory into making sure that wrestlers are compensated at a high level while doing less work. Very similar to what WCW did. WCW paid wrestlers handsomely and did less work. They went, what was the schedule, like 125?
Let me touch that because my pen ran out right now, and I don't feel like calling one of my children in my office to bring me another pen because I write down. My new thing is to just write what I want to say instead of interrupting all the time with blind tag. So I'm going to blind tag you right here and jump in there before you, because you said some things there I want to touch on and also get Gray back in here. And I touched on, I got your answer already about the next question, which is, should they, you know, how can they survive with that kind of a pay scale? And I'll have you reiterate what you just said as well. But one thing you did touch on was the not having as many shows. So they cannot be a clear cut number two without having some kind of a structure, in my opinion, of an Impact, of a wrestling, of a Ring of Honor, for what it's worth. They're on the Sinclair Network. New Japan now is on the Access Network or whatever it's called these days. Paramount Network, I forget. They've had like three names as I've had. Okay, Pursuit. Nobody has Pursuit.
Yeah,
I have every cable channel there is. I have it, but like, where the hell is
Pop TV ain't going to Pursuit?
Right, but my point is they cannot survive on a part-time schedule with that kind of money. If you're going to be a number two, you need to be WCW-esque, and that's at least one show a week. And a pay-per-view maybe once 2 months. You don't have that every month. Because I do think what WWE's problem was, what UFC's problem has become, is oversaturation. People clamor for more things that you don't see all the time. And that's also the WWE's problem as well. We got them Monday 3 hours, Tuesday 2 hours, Wednesday now an hour or 2 hours. We just had this week with NXT, and you got NXT UK. It's just so much to me in that. So the Impact needs to be – it needs to be felt, and I think it needs to be felt by having multiple shows. Now, I will go to the next question and have you jump back in after I get Greg's take on this. Greg, he mentioned about the pay scale and how WCW paid their wrestlers handsomely. And I thought WCW pay scale was well, and what Micah said was performance-based. I don't think men and women should get paid the same thing. That could mean if you – I'm going to just throw a name out there, right? If you get a Ruby Riott whose contract could be over in a year, right, and they get her – she should make more money if you mention the name Zack Ryder, who, by the way, I'm not a fan of, okay? But a Zack Ryder, right? Or maybe the wrong name, because Zack is a name, but a lesser wrestler that we haven't heard of, they should get paid more based upon the talent and what they can do. And Greg, so your opinion on the pay scale for that, and just to touch back as well, what you said about Zack Ryder leaving, when I said I don't think AJ leaves, I don't think Zack Ryder, from what everything I've ever heard, he's happy with that company. He's like the child. Remember that guy? It's real to me, damn it. That's Zack Ryder in a sense. He's comfortable. He doesn't care. He's playing his video games in his room. He's traveling. He's living a life. So what? He's not on TV every week, but he's at every house show. Okay, so the pay scale, though, Greg, your thoughts on that? Because I don't think they can survive having an even pay scale. I think that's a very bad idea. I know it sounds good in this world we live in today with this women empowerment. That's why you got Wonder Woman and all these, you know, things coming out with Cosby and R. Kelly and all that kind of stuff. You got to support the ladies. I don't think this is a good idea. It shouldn't be even pay. It should be performance based.
So I want to go back to the schedule first, because one of the things I never assumed they were going to have a WWE-esque schedule. I kind of put this on my own show the other day. You could tape twice a month in Chicago, because that's where you could handle tapings and still draw a crowd. And if you run a pay-per-view every other month, then that's 30 dates right there, and that's it.
Right.
So I do see them having a reduced schedule. Now, if you double that, that's 60 dates. That's still not that much. So then that's a monthly pay-per-view and a weekly show. So now you're still not doing all that much. I don't think they have to tour. I think that's almost overrated. Touring shows are saturated anyway, and that's what the WWE has been facing, like you said, UFC. The pay scale thing, I think a lot of people are misinterpreting what Brandi Rhodes said. And she herself even kind of clarified a little bit on Twitter. What she's saying is, if you're a bottom card guy and you're a bottom card female, you're making the same amount of money. But if you're a bottom card female, you're not making what Cody Rhodes makes the main event the first pay-per-view against Chris Jericho. You're not making what Chris Jericho makes. So what she's saying is that if you're placement on the card is the same, then you make the same amount of money. So it doesn't mean that. It just means that, like, a bottom card guy in WWE who makes 500 grand and a bottom card woman makes 100 grand, she's saying that's not fair. If you're both making 100, great. If you're both making 250, great. But Britt Baker's not making what they had to pay even, say, Pac to come in or Chris Jericho.
Right.
But that's, you know, what they're saying is it's at least going to be fair for the work that you're doing.
Okay. I see that. And that does make more sense. And it has been taking – that's why I had you guys on. This is the show for the intelligent wrestling fans. And damn it, that was an intelligent response right there. And that's way it should be that way. And what, to the naked dummy eye, you know, even pay? What? We can all get the same pay? Hell no. You know you suck.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that pay scale does need to be clarified. And I think you did a good job with that one. As well, Micah, your thoughts to be at Bracken Rate when you did I clarify what you were saying accurately? I want to make sure I do some justice there.
You didn't mischaracterize what I said. You were perfectly fine. I would combine what Greg said with exactly what I was iterating. Like he said, the two bottom card people, you're at the bottom of the card and you're both like jobber status, and both of y'all getting paid $100,000 to the jobbers, then that's equal. But what if now, because remember, the production value and the structure is differently, so that jobber somehow pulls a – let's just use Zack Ryder as an example since we threw his name out there – pulls out a Zack Ryder and somehow gains a following and influence on the internet and gains that notoriety and gains that crowd swell and gains that crowd support. Well, guess what? Their performance rate just went up because now they're bringing in new eyeballs, bringing in such, so therefore they can get this jobber base pay until they prove that this can be a consistent thing, and they can get the bonuses on top of that from their T-shirt sales, obviously, and things like that they produce to the company and get some bonuses, some kickbacks. And then they move up the scale, have they proved they can sustain it for longer than 2 days. So that's kind of like where I was going with that. But it's exactly what Greg said, too, is the combination of both of those seems like a good, solid thing. Now, am I a business person? No, I tried. I failed at one. But it's just like exactly what you said. This is a business. You gotta figure out ways to do it. Where if you're gonna pay everyone equally, well, you gotta pay equal for equal work. And in Greg's case, equal pay for equal status in the company, which makes perfect sense.
Now we threw it out there earlier, and that was Kenny Omega. Now I think this is the biggest domino out there right now. Now we spoke about whether Phil Brooks would join the company or not. We can speculate for or against someone like the phenomenal AJ Styles going to AEW. Again, I am very strong in my convictions about thinking I don't think AJ Styles goes. But again, this is the wrestling business, so what the hell do I know? Anything's possible, right? But what I will talk about is how smart Kenny Omega is. Now, this could be a double-edged sword. A lot of people are thinking he is on his way to the Royal Rumble, right? He's a free agent. He hasn't officially signed with these guys. I don't think someone with the intelligence of Cody Rhodes would be upset with Kenny. And to an extent, Kenny decided to go to the WWE. If Vince decided to throw this money at him, give him some creative control over his character, will this be something that Kenny Omega will be willing to partake in and take the money and then, you know, what does Kenny Omega really want? I know I'm under the belief, which been met with some criticism over, you know, the 10 years we've been a part of this we've been doing this program. Yeah, I started in my basement. It was just my own house, though. Not my mama's basement. It was my basement. I'm under the belief that every wrestler wants to go to the WWE. I do. I'm a big Hangman Page fan. I'm not sure if he's doing the right thing by going to All Elite Wrestling first. Is he a big enough star that would make an impact in WWE? Would he be stuck in NXT? A lot of questions, but Kenny Omega, is he making the mistake, or is he the smartest man right now in the business by no one knows? What if he's actually signed with All Elite Wrestling and they're just waiting for the Royal Rumble day and they say, oh, look what we signed. He's not going to be at the Royal Rumble. A lot of dominoes to still fall here. 347-637-3859. Calling in from California, our friend of the program as well, Mr. K. M.E. What's going on, Chris?
Hey, what's up, fellas? Long time, man. It's good to be home, so to speak.
Definitely. This is episode 1999, bruh. Damn! A lot of motherfucking episodes, people. I'm just saying. Sorry, Mama, I'm cussing, but you're in heaven looking down. You can't whoop me no more. But we're talking All Elite Wrestling, all things All Elite Pro Wrestling right now. Kenny Omega, what do you think he's going to do?
That's a very good question. I really do think that this is how sports and entertainment should work. And that's one of the reasons why I'm in favor of AEW. No one wants to see WWE go out of business, but I want to see bidding wars over guys. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I want to see the talent taken seriously. I want to see what if AEW – he should go to whatever company is going to value him more at the end of the day.
I like that.
It reminds me of Ryan Coogler when he came off of directing the first Creed. And it was such a hit movie, and Creed is a Warner Brothers movie. So I automatically thought Ryan Coogler was locked in to direct whatever DC movie was going to come out because he was under Warner Brothers' banner, and Disney came in and swooped him and offered him Black Panther. That's how business is supposed to work, and WWE has had it far too easy for far too long. So in that respect, I want to see these wrestlers have a little bit more autonomy than they have. So I'm not going to even speculate because, like you said, what the hell do any of us know? This is the wrestling business. So I don't feel comfortable guessing, but I do hope he gets the sweetest offer possible. And that's a very enviable position to be in.
Now, remember, I did bet my eyebrows that we were going to see Daniel Bryan in the ring at WrestleMania a year before anybody. Just to throw it out there. I'm not Nostradamus. It's just I follow the goddamn timeline, people. I say it again. He is Daniel Bella. He ain't going nowhere. Okay? Kenny Omega ain't fucking nobody in the company. Okay? Kenny Omega ain't fucking nobody in WWE that I'm aware of. But not that I care who he's fucking.
What if AEW offers one of the Bellas a big time contract, you know what I'm saying? What if they?
Gosh, no.
No, I hear what you're saying. That's a very good idea. Right. Money's money. Money's money. But here's my thing with that. I think certain people are edged in forever into that company for the way the, like Big Show, right? There's just certain money, certain ways that certain guys and girls have been treated. That, you know, everybody's not Jericho. What makes Jericho this maverick that we call him, that he loves to call himself as well, is that he's been everywhere and he's constantly changing. Like he said in his press conference, I already got the money. I don't need the money. I want to make an impact on wrestling. Craig, do you think Omega is making a mistake, or is he the smartest man in wrestling right now by just sitting there waiting to see who's going to pine after him the most, like a girl on prom night?
I don't think that decision's been made. First of all, and to go back on a few things. Number one, he's under contract with New Japan until January 31st. So there's no Royal Rumble appearance.
But there's
happening.
No Royal Rumble unless, 27th. Right. You're right.
But unless now could they come up with a financial deal and make that happen? They most definitely could. And I think it'd be smart money if they did. A lot of people seem to think he's going to All Elite Wrestling. I think he's going to WWE. And the reason why is because it's Kenny Omega is his own dude. Like, all these elite guys are kind of in this thing together, and I think Marty Scurll goes there after his Ring of Honor deal is out, but Adam Page, who I think made a mistake. I think Adam Page should have stayed in Ring of Honor.
I don't think he did enough there. That was my thing, too. I just don't think – and I am an Adam Page, Hangman Page Mark. I really am. I saw him at the first – which one was that? 11, Wrestle Kingdom 11 I started watching? New Japan again?
Right.
Because New Japan is not new, people. It was out in the 90s and 80s. I watched it back there too. Okay.
Old Japan.
But I think he has a hell of a career. I'm just not sure right now where he is he's a big enough – I personally think financially – Unless Cody and them gave him the bank, I think WWE might have gave him financially more money. But again, I always say it's not always about money to us, maybe, but not to those guys. If you got, it's like Dave Chappelle said about the contract. Well, there's between $31 million and $33 million. Shit, $2 million is a damn difference. okay? But to some people, like Shaquille O'Neal, and it was the Lakers versus the Magic, offering them $1 million more, he took L.A., although Orlando offered more money. So to some people, money does not matter. I asked you the same question there, Micah. Kenny Omega, I believe, Greg believes he's going to WWE bound. Is he WWE or is he AEW in your opinion?
Well, it's just a matter of just where he wants the most money. Now, look, we can wish and we can pie in the sky all we want to about WWE offering someone creative control over their character. Very, very few guys get that opportunity and get that option.
Very few.
And I think you have to make sure. I think you have to make sure that you come in with all kinds of stuff that you know for a fact that in order for you to have just enough creative control where you can say, okay, well, I'm not changing this part of my character, because they're gonna still book you any way they want to. Look at the way they book AJ Styles still. Look at the way they book Samoa Joe. They still book Matt Hardy into oblivion, even though his and then they waited for his broken character gimmick to get over with the courts. A lot of stuff that happened in that scenario. So and some of these guys are homegrown WWE guys that still didn't get all of that creative control. So as far as that aspect, I don't even think that's a part of it. Kenny may be chasing the money, but we don't know what it is that he wants. But once again, Kenny Omega has made – the best way I can say is that – what's that? Kenny Omega has made the biggest splash on the biggest stage that he was at the time. Mm-hmm. The thing that a lot of people may chase, like you said, a lot of people want to be in WWE. That's still the worldwide leader. That's the one that has the even though it seems like the TV ratings are going down the tube, even though the TV ratings are going down the tube for them, the TV ratings aren't just a part of what the product they have. The social media following is still almost in the hundreds of millions at this point. The stuff the network subscriptions keep them going. They have the whole thing with Saudi Arabia. They have the $450 million that came from them for a 10-year period. They got the billion-dollar deal
with Fox. Right.
They got the billion-dollar deal with Fox. So
just for SmackDown.
It's just for SmackDown. That's not even counting what they may get for Raw. So, yeah, the TV rating sucks, but everything else seems to be counterbalancing and working together to keep them the number one product. So Kenny Omega, is he the guy that wants not necessarily the money, but the biggest platform to then show the reason why he's always called himself the best in the world at the time we thought it was John Cena? But John Cena was on the biggest platform. AJ Styles was wrestling classics in New Japan. But Roman Reigns was considered the best wrestler in the world. But he was on the biggest platform. You see what I'm saying? So I believe that maybe that if I could see him going to WWE over AEW, not because he doesn't care about the Young Bucks, doesn't like Cody, or doesn't have respect for them.
No, we know they we know they're close friends. Right.
Yeah, I think he wants to make sure the notch is in the belt. That he did what he wanted to do and established himself as the guy in the company. Kenny Omega and Seth Rollins have a lot of similarities when it comes to
Steal my thunder. Oh no, my brother, it's my turn to testify. You know how I feel that Kenny Omega is nothing but Seth Rollins. To unpopular opinion, I like Kenny Omega. I think he has better entrances. Of course, with Wrestle Kingdom, the last one was dope as hell. Don't get me wrong. But when I see Kenny Omega, I see Seth Rollins. That's just me. But can I get another Seth Rollins? Can we use another one? Hell yeah. Give me Kenny Omega versus some of them New Day guys or some of the rivals they've been having via social media and their video game worlds and things along those lines. I'm all in favor of Kenny Omega, but I'm all in favor of wrestling. And this is where I think it's great right now. Like KME said, this is the best damn time when you're going to have these guys can bid over where they go. Right, this Hall and Nash. Remember all that whole thing with WCW, and that was dope. Watching different guys show up on different programs, it made the wrestling business better. And for us, to be honest, I tolerate today's product. You've never heard me say I love today's product. Yes, I watch it. I watch it with my children. They still have the innocence we had as kids before we recognized that. It took me till I was a teenager before I liked the Ric Flair. Y'all heard the interviews with Tully Blanchard. I hated the Four Horsemen. That was what we supposed. I'm a Superman fan, for heaven's sakes. I like the good guy. Okay, the death of the good guy of the face is gone. But let's go here for a little bit, as our time is. I want to make sure I get everything I want to get in here, and that's, is this a war with WWE? And I say this, and I put out the tweet. And thanks to everybody who retweeted it and liked it and commented on it. Shots fired by Chris Jericho. Some people say, what do you mean, what shots? And I asked this question, and my good friend of the program, Dice Man, on Twitter said he didn't think it was a shot. And I said, well, I caught it when he said it, changing the universe. When he said, I don't need your money. I got money. Changing the universe. Now it's his hashtag. We know this, that WWE fans call themselves, well, they WWE calls their fans the WWE Universe. They have a universal championship. He's trying to change the culture of professional wrestling. That's a shot. This, they want a war. The Jaguar family, the Khan family knows what they're getting themselves into. They know Vince McMahon has pockets. They got pockets. And he's letting his son run the company. So let's see how far this really does go. But right now we're speaking speculation. They're here for a war. They're going to go after every single town they want to go after because they can afford to do it. Is this a war, KME?
It can turn into one. The Khans are rich as hell. Let me just say that.
They got more money than Vince, right. That don't mean they're smart to wrestling business. That doesn't mean they're smart to wrestling business.
But still, when you have billions of dollars, you can afford to be dumb. You know what I'm saying? it just is what it is. I think they can do a good 2 break even years. They could probably be at a loss for a year or so. The big thing with them is if they're going to be able to get talent to want to come to them, and I do think they're going to be competitive in the field, and I think that's what the wrestling business needs. And I think it'll make WWE better. WWE is putting out garbage because they can't.
Right.
That's the reason why they've been doing it. They need somebody breathing up next to him. Batman needs the Joker. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Superman needs Lex Luthor. It's just synergy. It's just how it's going to work. So it could be a war, and I hope it does become a war because this is interesting. But I'm not underestimating WWE. I'm not underestimating anybody in this scenario because the Khans, even before all this, I saw Tony Khan. He used to post on the boards and stuff on wrestling. He's a wrestling head. So I think he recognizes the hunger that certain fans have for good wrestling. I flew out to Chicago.
I was going to say that you gave up WrestleMania joining me in New Orleans to go to All In.
I don't think I'm the only fan that did that, you know?
No.
Fans are going on the Jericho cruise. Fans want something. Fans are hungry. And I think WWE is going to – I think the days, at least temporarily, of WWE resisting fan reactions are over. I think Becky Lynch is getting that title at Mania by hook or by crook. I think they're going to push the over people. I think the nonsense, because WWE, Vince McMahon is, I don't buy this old and senile stuff. He's not an idiot. He was just doing what he wanted to do because he could. And now that he's got somebody breathing down his neck, I do think that product is going to get marketably better.
Well, they said they were taking back over. I think we've had some up and down weeks since Dave McMahon's come out on TV and made that announcement about taking over. Greg, I ask you next. That's the founder of ChairShot.com. You can find them on Twitter at the ChairShot. You can find them on Facebook. They also have a show also on Blog Talk Radio. I've been a part of ChairShot. Make sure you guys follow them. Okay, guys, it's easy. You just click the button, follow, listen to the content.
ChairShot.
They got writers, they got shows, they got everything. They got something for you. Greg, is this a war? Changing the universe is the hashtag.
Changing the universe is the hashtag that Jericho used. I like to change the world aspect and how they're looking at the business. I'll say this. In 2019, it's only a war if Vince McMahon decides it's a war. They are not at that point yet. Maybe 2021, end of 2020, possibly they could do that. But right now, it's only a war if Vince decides he wants to squish the bug now. It's not a war at all by any point. Now,
but
is it a war if
so
WrestleMania
– and so mad that he, you know – I hear things about Vince that, you know, you have to kind of, like I said, read between the lines there. Some people say, right. Oh, he's very ruthless. He doesn't want people to have, you know, he still would need the WCW and everybody else. But there's also other people who say, oh, Vince loves wrestling. He loves to see the competition. He's in favor of what Cody and him are doing. Well, that goes against him being the arrogant viper, you know, sorry, Randy, that we know Vince is to be.
I think Vince realizes the value in competition. That's why he's tried to create it internally, which hasn't really worked because they won't allow it to be competition. Right. Here's what it becomes a war. If WrestleMania 36 is in Orlando, which is rumored to do, and All Elite Wrestling pulls their shit in like Jacksonville, now it's a war because now they're trying to compete with WrestleMania. And Cody made his comments about not wanting to run or work WrestleMania weekend because that's the WWE's crowd and you're not really drawing that crowd. I read between those lines, that tells me he wants to see what they can do maybe with their own WrestleMania, whether they do the same. They love these holiday weekends, but they're not going to avoid WrestleMania weekend forever. But what if WrestleMania is in, you know, like I said, Orlando or Minneapolis, and they say, fuck, we're going to run Vegas. And they decide to run Vegas WrestleMania weekend. Now fans have to make a choice. Because right now, you don't have to make a choice for WrestleMania weekend. So it's going to be very interesting to see what they do long term. But right now, 2019, it's only a war if Vince McMahon says it's a war. And that's just the position he's in.
I like what you said there because rumor has it that they are coming to Tampa for WrestleMania next year. That announcement should be coming out either sometime in the next week or so. That it's between Minnesota, which I say no one wants to go to Minnesota. Sorry. Okay. But you know, how much people want to go to Tampa as well? Okay. I'm in favor of it because I live here in Florida, so less travel for me to have to spend money. So I'm in for it. 281 is calling up. It's my man, Ronnie. Ronnie, what's going on? Your thoughts on AEW?
What up,
Nas?
What up, KME?
What's going on?
Yeah. Nothing much, man. A few issues I have with it was I'm all for the equal pay and the insurance, but I didn't think they should have announced it live on camera because if you don't live up to it, they got you on tape saying these things. If that could get you some deep trouble, I think they should have said something once they got their stuff in order. Like, yeah, we got this. But to me, the main issue is going to be I think Raw SmackDown is going to be fine. It's going to be NXT. And negotiations with guys like, say, like a Will Ospreay, Zack Sabre Jr., when you're negotiating, and these guys are like, wait a minute, AEW is on TNT. Why I got to go to NXT first? And these guys already got major TV backing them. You know, I'm going to go here instead of having to go a year and a half or whatever on NXT. I could just do, I'll go AEW. I'm on national TV. I'm on TNT. With TNT has the NBA, so you know, millions of people have that channel.
Right.
And so I think NXT really going to have to build those homegrown guys they get from whatever college football's team they pick more from because it may be difficult to get these hot independent guys now if AEW has a TNT backing them or something like that.
I like that because that came out today. Jericho said, you know, he didn't give up a name, but he said when they make this announcement, he said he's shocked at the offers that they've gotten from television networks and that when they do tell you guys closer to May who that network is, in the words of Bully Ray, holy shit, right? So that makes me think there, Ronnie. Is it TNT? Like, we all know how to find the channel. We can find Kenny in chat all the time. You know?
I know what TNT is.
It's not that hard. It's not that hot. I'm sorry. I'm bad.
They might even get some HBO specials. Yeah, they might even get some HBO specials out of that if they're on TNT.
Right. So remember, what if it is a cable network like an HBO who just got out of boxing? Right? Whatever that network is, I don't think it's somewhere like a Fox. I don't think it's a network channel. But if it's a major cable network, you know, that's very, very big. What if it's an ESPN who is in bed now with you? What if it, you know, that can also give them more money right there. A lot of things right there talk about. So let me finish it with this since we went there already. Does that TV deal matter, Greg? And then I go to Cammy.
Yeah.
And after you run, does that TV deal matter?
I think it matters if they want to be what they say they want to be, which is that viable number two. They haven't used those words, but like you said, read between the lines, I do think it matters. The Khan family is in the National Football League.
the owners are part of the TV negotiations. So they have those connections. So I'm not surprised that the TV deals are able to bring to the table the production levels that they have access to. I do think the TV matters. You ask anybody, any mind in the wrestling business, the Bruce Pritchard and Eric Bischoff, what it takes to even be number two behind WWE, they say a lot of money and a TV deal. And while I think, you know, the internet is so big and streaming is so big and maybe you got Netflix, whatever, that's binge watching. But TV is still really, really important to what people do. Ratings, you guys brought up ratings. Ratings don't matter like they used to. Even when WWE ratings suck, they're still in the top five every single
right.
night that they're on television. And that's
right.
what matters. And that's why Fox paid them, you know, gave them the bag the way they did. But you, I think TV, for what they want to do, does matter.
I like what you said right there because a lot of people cringe and rip the ratings. They're always in the top. Like, these people would love to have some of the ratings that the company gets over there in the WWE. KME, your thought, your response. Does the TV deal matter? Like I said, Ronnie mentioned TNT. It can't be on Pop, right? They can't be on the Pop network, right?
Yeah, man, they need a good TV deal. Like, the TNA, that Pursuit Channel crap is laughable. I still don't know what that crap is. You need a good TV deal. You need, at the lowest end is WGN America, and that would be and that's a good network. And then what you hope for is a
But does
TNT
that make you say holy shit the way that Bully Ray said today on Busted Open Radio on SiriusXM Fight Nation? That's not a holy shit for me to say WGN. Holy shit would have to be TNT, ESPN, PBS.
WGN America has that reach now.
Okay.
They have shows that do well. They're it's not like it was in the 90s when they were just strictly a Chicago station. They're a
super right. Well, remember, there's two different WGNs now. WGN America
yeah.
is what we get, and then you have WGN,
then,
which
yeah.
is the Chicago one still, which I wish we had.
Yeah.
Being
have,
a Bulls
yeah.
fan and Cubs.
Yeah, well, WGN America came out in the late 90s.
Right. Michael Jordan
yeah,
made it.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that I think they're gonna be fine. I do think that the TV is gonna matter, but I don't think they would have gone this far if strong TV wasn't there. And I do think that these guys are billionaires, man. The cons people don't have to understand this. The cons. Have they're like Ted Turner back in the 90s. WCW before Hogan got there was losing money for Turner Television year after year after year, but they stayed afloat because Ted Turner was a wrestling fan. I think Tony Khan is that passionate, but I do think they'll figure out a way to turn a profit. So I do think the TV is going to matter, and I think they'll get if it's Turner, they'll be on HBO. They'll get HBO specials. They'll get is that HBO documentary that they were filming kind of hints to me, tells me they're going to be on TNT, TBS, or even Adult Swim or something. That's what it tells me.
I like that. I'm going to finish with this right here and get up in here because a lot of things. And thank you guys for listening. Make sure you follow the podcast on BDSR Networks, also on Fox Sports Radio, 1340 AM Podcast Network, wherever podcasts are sold, which is absolutely free. This is episode 1999. Again, thank you all for this. Damn, Cammy, remember when we just had 100 when we had Rikishi and everybody come on the program? Like, I feel like we just had episode 100. Now we're up to 2,000. Coming tomorrow for Lock It Up Friday for Division Card Weekend. Deontay Wilder, WBC Heavyweight Champion of the World, will be joining the program as well. A lot of big things down the pipeline. But one of the biggest talks with AEW, we spoke about Jericho. And I just wanted to bring this up to end the show, and then I'll play the Jericho conference after we get off air. You guys can say, check that out off air, of course. And that's Jericho. Is it the best Jericho peak that Jericho has been at? They're saying that his last few matches in New Japan are the best of his career. Am I naive? Does this give me the label that Micah, you, and others say I deserve sometimes of hashtag WB guy? Because I say they've been really good matches, but I've seen better from Jericho. Your take, is Jericho enough the Maverick if he is right now. Because I don't think Goldberg would be the name. And if they sign a Goldberg, doesn't that just go against everything all you other smarts out there bitched about when WWE got him back in there? Is Jericho at the peak of his career to carry them inside the ring better than he's ever done it before, Micah? That's how I felt. That's what they said.
See, you, my son's laughing. So look, right? Here's the thing.
Hey,
Jericho,
nephew.
As far as in-ring work, no. But he will be valuable in telling stories and educating anybody else who may be young, maybe up and coming, maybe future stars, how they can then tell the story. I mean, there's no denying that when it comes to storytelling with the in-ring work, that Jericho's one of the best to ever do it. Come on. There's people that still talk about that he's the guy that beat The Rock and the Stone Cold in the same night, that he's the
right
guy that did that. You know, and he sold that story in the way that – when's the last time you saw The Rock in the middle of a promo and a dude shut him up? That was Jericho. So he knows how to carry a story. So from the storytelling standpoint, I believe that he'll be vitally important. From an in-ring standpoint, you know, Matt Jovi, you know, Bon Jovi, definitely be Bon Bon because he eats a lot of Bon Bons now. Jovi will probably not be necessarily the best in-ring worker of the company, but he'll do enough and he'll tell the stories necessary to make sure that there's interest.
See,
he'll definitely keep our interest.
I like that, and I agree with that, because I think that sometimes wrestling fans of our ilk get too excited about things. Yeah, Jericho's telling some of the best stories he's ever told. He's definitely doing that, and he's catering to what we love in wrestling fans. But in ring, I'm not saying he's putting on bad matches. I'm not saying that at all. I believe I've seen better from Jericho, but the storytelling, which again I tell you, hashtag wrestling is storyline, and that's the basis of professional wrestling, people. Storyline. If there's no storyline, no one gives a shit. Okay. Hashtag wrestling is storyline. But Greg, can I ask you this question? I'll let you get up out of here. Then you got to go, and thank you for joining us. I know I'm going to go watch Gotham at 8 o'clock. So, but is this the best Jericho we've ever seen?
It depends on the perspective. I mean, that's what you guys just so eloquently said. In the ring? No. If they're saying this is the best in-ring Chris Jericho ever, they're asinine. They're irresponsible if you're saying this is the best in-ring Chris Jericho ever. It's not. But from a storytelling perspective, because he's had to compensate for getting up there in years, kind of like a Triple H has had to do and a Kurt Angle has had to do, anybody who works in the ring has had to do, he has reinvented himself so well to where Chris Jericho is the story, and what Jericho's doing is the story. He can do what he needs to do in the ring because of what he can do on the other side of the coin telling the story. So it just depends. As a performer, it might be the best work of his career. I still think it's the heel, you know, best in the world, Chris Jericho, that was feuding with Shawn Michaels back in the day, and then mentioned CM Punk. That, to me, is the best Chris Jericho. But in terms of overall, I mean, I think he's damn good. I think he's a great get. But I can't sit here and say that it's the best Chris Jericho ever, because it's just simply not. This is like the Chris Jericho retirement tour, and he's still in much better shape than most people would be for a retirement tour. So I give him all the credit in the world. I give them the credit for getting him. But that's some rose-colored glasses if you think this is the best of Chris Jericho.
Listen, guys, we're going to get up out of here. Thank you for joining us. Tomorrow, like I said, episode 2000, Deontay Wilder, WBC heavyweight champion, will join the program. A lot to come tomorrow on the program. Wrestling Talk is back. Chairshot.com, where you can find all your latest wrestling news, rumors, and everything else that's out there. Greg, thank you for joining us tonight. I appreciate your time, buddy. I tried to plug them enough for you. Go ahead and plug your network, buddy.
First of all, before I plug, I just want to say something. My show and me as a podcaster, I'm pushing 400 episodes. I thought that was some serious shit. You come out here with 1,999. Congratulations to you,
you
and everybody you work with. That is a hell of an accomplishment. Most people don't even get to a fraction of that. I hope people listening understand. In our medium, when it is so many, we make fun of basement dwellers and all that, anybody can do a podcast, but very few people can get past, you know, 50 episodes, and you talk about the celebration when you hit 100. That's fucking amazing. Congratulations for pulling that off. They can definitely head over to thechairshot.com follow TheFairShot.com on all social media, at FairShotGreg on social media. We won't bullshit you. It's news, reviews, opinions, and analysis with attitude. We give it to you straight. We'll report the news, but then we'll tell you if you think it's bullshit. And that's what makes us different, and that's why we've grown our brand by over 500% in the past year. So thank you for that. We'll get you back on, and yeah, just keep doing it, man. This was outstanding. Thank you for the invite.
No problem. Thank you, and thank you for those kind words. I could not have done it at all without the people behind me and people who have been here from the beginning. So, KME, thank you for joining us tonight as well. Ronnie, finally got Ronnie on the air. Mother, whoa, damn, Andy Reid must be doing something out there. Listen, guys. Micah, as always, thank you. Catch you tomorrow. Guys, here are a few things from the press conference I was privileged to be there and witness. So, guys, here it is, Chris Jericho's announcement and coming into AEW. And after that, we see you guys tomorrow at 5:30. Same Knox channel. Whatever it was going to say, it just went out the window. Who cares? I love you guys. Peace. Listen to this interview, y'all. We out of here.
So what do you think? You guys think Hangman's going to be the first world champion? Yeah! Will it be Pac? Could it be Cody? Maybe it's one of the Young Bucks. I'm Chris Jericho, and I am all in with All Elite Wrestling! Surprise! I think we just took things to a different level, didn't we? Am I right? I am here with AEW. I'm not here for the money. I already got the money. I'm here because I believe in doing something different. I believe in doing something new. It's what I've always done my entire career. I am a maverick. I am an outlaw. I am a pariah. I am Chris Jericho, baby. And it all starts today. I know this was free, but if you had a ticket stub, I tell you to keep it, hang it up on your wall, and remember, this is the day that AEW starts. Right here, right now, in Jacksonville. And May 25th in Las Vegas at the MGM Grand, Double or Nothing. I'm going to be there. Are you going to be there? How about all you people watching in TV land? Are you going to be there, baby? The point is this. It starts now, and it starts forever. This is the real deal, folks. I'm going to tell you one other thing. I'm not here to just change the world. AEW is not here to change the world. We are going to change the whole universe!